Like you to take your Bibles and turn to the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah's prophecy given to him by the Lord for the children of Israel. Isaiah 26 is where I'd like you to go today. This prophecy, this chapter, is talking about a better day. A better day for God's people. I don't know about you, but I'm dreaming of a better day.
Amen.
I'm dreaming of a better place than earth, a place called heaven. That's going to be good, amen?
Yes.
But even while we're here on earth, I'm dreaming of better things in the future. I'm dreaming of better things in my life. I'm dreaming of better things for my family. I'm dreaming of better things for our church family. I'm dreaming of a better day. And I believe that as we walk with God and as we trust God and as we grow in His truth, we can experience that better day. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what tragedies are facing you or what challenges are facing you or what difficulties are facing you. But I know one thing. As human beings, we all have those. We all have difficulties. We all have challenges. Some are health related. We've got people in our church that are going through some serious health-related challenges. Some of them, the doctors are still scratching their head and wondering what's going on. It's really discomforting when the doctor doesn't even know the solution. They don't know the solution because they don't even know the problem. That's a bad place to be. But aren't you glad that God has it figured out?
Amen.
And He can help us to experience a better day. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of this chapter, and I'm going to read down through verse 7, I think it is. Through verse 5, I think. Yep, verse 5. In that day shall this song be sung. So we're talking about a day in the future, in that day. So the verbiage is very clear there. And this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. When Isaiah gives this prophecy, they don't have a strong city. But it's a song about a strong city. It says, salvation will God anoint for walls and bulwarks. God's protection, God's deliverance, God's sustaining, God's watching over. It says in verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Notice the key to the righteousness is God's word, keeping truth, obeying His word. That starts with salvation and obeying His word in the gospel and admitting our sin and admitting our need of a Savior and calling on Jesus to be our own personal Savior. That's where we receive the righteousness of God. But if we're going to live a right life or we're going to live in His righteousness, it's not going to be because of our righteousness. We're not saved by our righteousness. We're not sustained in salvation by our righteousness. It's all about us experiencing His righteousness in us. And we experience His righteousness in us in our fellowship with Him and our obedience to Him. As His Spirit works in us and His Word works in us. But He's talking about a better day. In the city of God, when the gates are opened up and there's no debris hindering the gates to open up and there's no threat hindering the gates to open up. In the Bible times, the walls and the gates were very important to the protection of the city. And they were very careful about when they would open the gates and who they would open the gates to. And they had big gates to let a big group in, and they had a little gate inside that big gate to let just one in at a time. And normally they would just let one in at a time. But in this, it's talking about opening up the big gates to where a big crowd can come in. And the only time they would do that is when there was no threat and no danger of attack. A time of peace. And that's the better day that Isaiah is writing about. A time of peace. But notice what he says here about how this peace is experienced in our lives. Says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. There's a direct correlation between faith and peace in this passage. It says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to dust. I don't know what problem you have. I don't know what challenge you have. I don't know what struggle you have. But I know this. He's able. He's more than able to handle whatever comes your way. He's able. More than able. I want to talk to you about His ability at work in us so we can experience His perfect peace on earth today in our relationship with Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for each one that is here today, and I pray for those that are not able to be here today due to illness or travel or difficulties or distractions. Lord, we pray that You would work in every life, that Your will would be done. Lord, for each one that is here, we pray that each person here would be drawn closer to You because of the time they invest in this place. We pray that Your will would be done in every life as they listen to You and as You speak to their hearts, that they would be obedient to what You speak to them about. That they would not just be a spectator in this thing we call worship, but they would be an engaged participator in listening to You and obeying You speak to them. Lord, our purpose in all of this is that You would be glorified. That You would be glorified in our church collectively, and You would be glorified in each life individually. We pray to that end that You would accomplish Your will, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, here in this passage, we see this matter of peace, and we see a direct connection between the peace we experience in our lives and in our fellowship with the Lord and our obedience to His Word. In verse 2, it talks about keeping truth may enter in. The idea is, as we obey God and His Word and we experience His work in us, we experience that peace in our lives. And my friend, you know, obviously, in this passage, he's talking about a better day of peace as for the nation, when they could come into the city and the walls could be, the doors could be opened up, and there would be no interference in being able to come into the city, and no concern about coming into the city. But then he talks about peace that we can have in our lives individually, not collectively, individually. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That's individual. And what I want you to think about today is there may be, you know, a corporate experience of peace down the road, but until that happens, I can experience peace in my life right now. You know, there will be a day of peace on earth, just like the angel promised with the birth of Jesus. There will be peace on earth. But the peace of the millennial kingdom, that's still a ways away. We talked about that last week. But until I experience that peace, what about peace right now in my life personally? You know, there may be whatever the struggle you're in right now. It may be a health struggle, or it may be a relational struggle, or it may be a financial struggle, or whatever that is. And the point of this is, there may be some time before I experience the peace in that situation. It may take some time before I experience peace and my health challenges be taken care of. It may take some time before my financial challenges are taken care of and I experience peace in that area. It may take a little bit of time before I have more peace in this relationship that right now is in turmoil. But what about right now? The peace I can experience right now. Can I have peace now? What I submit to you is, yes, I can. I can have peace right now in my life. And God's Word tells us how we can do that. See, in the text, it says that God is the one keeping us in His peace. Notice in verse 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. God is the pronoun thou. God is the one keeping us in perfect peace. And it's His peace. It's not peace that we can do on our own. It's His peace. That's why it's described as perfect peace. It's not a manufactured peace. It's not a man-centered peace. It's a peace that only God can give. It's that same peace that's described in Philippians as the peace that passes understanding. It's God's peace in me. How in the world can I experience that? Well, it takes God to do it. I can't do this myself. It says, thou wilt keep him. God is the one keeping us in his peace. The word keep here means to hold. And this is a very intimate statement. One of the things, when we set out some goals for the year, one of the things that I shared in a staff meeting and a deacons meeting, one of the things I'm praying for is that as a church, people individually will experience a greater intimacy with the Lord this year than ever before. And if we will do that, we will have peace.
Amen.
See, this is God holding us and us experience Him holding us. The word keep here means to have custody or security, to preserve, to not lose anything, to retain, to tend to and to care to. See, the experience of peace in my life is me realizing that God is taking care of me. God is tending to my needs. And I may not see it change instantly, and most time I won't see it change instantly. But I can change in the situation. Even if the situation doesn't change, I can change knowing that God is at work. See, if I will believe that God is at work, I can experience His peace working in me. And that's really what we have going on here, is me experiencing God's peace at work in me while He's working in the situations of my life. A lot of times we forfeit peace in our lives because we want to work it out our way. We think we've got it figured out. We want to get our hands in there and we want to fix it ourselves instead of trusting God and waiting on God. We think God needs our help. Excuse me? When did God ever need my help? Where was I during the 6 days of creation? Oh yeah, that's right. I didn't exist. Neither did you. He did real fine by himself when it came to the 6 days of creation. Amen?
Yes.
We see the evidence of that every day. So what? How ignorant of me to think that I've got a solution to my problem greater than God's solution. And if I'll just trust Him and I'll just rest in Him, I can experience His peace knowing that He's taking care of it. He's working. I just have to trust Him.
Amen.
See, this is a peace from God. It's not our own making. This is a peace He works in us. As we are trusting Him, He's working His peace in us. See, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. It says, the Lord of peace. This is the peace of God working in me. This is the Lord of peace working in me. And working a peace that passes human understanding. Where I look at it and I say, how am I having this peace? Or other people look at me going through what I'm going through and they say, how can they have that peace? It boggles the mind of the human mind because they don't understand it. And I don't even understand it because God's the one doing it.
Yeah.
And that's where we miss it so often. We think our peace is dependent on us. My friend, your peace is not dependent on you. It's dependent on you trusting Him. He works the peace in you. Just like your salvation is not dependent on you. Your salvation is dependent on the one you're trusting in. The same is true in your peace and experience on earth. It's who you're trusting in. And this matter of peace, see, we say we're trusting God and we're trusting God for salvation and we're trusting God for this and trusting God for that. But the real measure of our trust in God is our experience of His peace working in us. Because if we're really trusting Him, we will experience His peace. See, it's not something we do to ourselves, it's something God does to us, and it's called perfect peace. And the reason it's a perfect peace is because it's from a perfect source. I personally am not a perfect source of peace. The peace I can handle on my own is very transitional. I mean, it can change that quick. I can be having a good day and all of a sudden something throws it off and I can be, that peace is just gone. And the same thing's true in your life, but this peace is a perfect peace because it's from a perfect source. And that source is not myself. That source is not a friend. That source is not a family member. That source is not in a bottle. That, my friend, that source is in the eternal God of heaven.
Amen.
That's why it's a perfect peace. It's not dependent on circumstances. The word perfect here means complete. And this is the idea of complete here. To carry to the end. That's amazing, isn't it? See, this peace can carry me through the turmoil until the turmoil's over. You know, in our lives, turmoil comes and goes. Troubles come and go. Difficulties come and go. Trials come and go. But the fact that they come and go means that they don't last forever. And this peace that is being talked about is a perfect peace that will carry me to the end of whatever it is I'm going through. It can get me through it. And you know what? On this earth, those troubles and trials, although this one may be temporary and there will be a day it's over, guess what's going to come a little bit further down the road? Another one. And although that's temporary and there will be an end to that, but guess what's going to come down the road just a little bit further? Another one. Correct? As long as I'm living on this earth, I'm either going into a difficulty, I'm in a difficulty, or I'm coming out of a difficulty, or I'm about to go into another difficulty. Is that not true? That is our human existence on earth. But this perfect peace can sustain us all the way to the end. And my friend, the end for the child of God is to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And there's constant eternal peace in heaven.
Mark it there, brother.
This perfect peace can get me through till I get there. There's a lot of Christians, they struggle with peace because they're not trusting in God. They're trusting in themselves, or they're trusting in their bank account, or they're trusting in the president, or they're trusting in somebody else, and they're not trusting in God. And the evidence is in the fact that they are not experiencing a sustaining peace that's getting them through the trial and getting them through the next trial and helping them to get all the way until the Lord takes them to glory. This is perfect peace. It'll get you through to the end. The end of what you're going through, including the end of life. To me, and from what I've experienced, and I haven't experienced anything compared to many people, especially my wife, chronic pain and chronic illness is something that is really, really challenging. And we'll put this reality to the maximum test. I've never had shingles. Brother Huber's had shingles. And Sister Markham's had shingles. Many people in here. How many people have had shingles? It's terrible. Terrible. Just constant pains, like needles just poking you constantly. It's terrible. And it lasts way too long. And you wonder if you're going to make it. And when you're going through something like that, it's easy to think that the only way out is death. And that's where a lot of people end up taking their life, whatever it is, whether it be emotional or physical or whatever. They're going through something, and in the source of their discomfort and pain and agony, they think that thought, and it's crossed other people's minds too. The only way out of this is death. My friend, no, that is not true. The only way out of this is just letting God help you through it, because He'll get you through it. And if He wants to take you home, let Him take you home, because in His presence is perfect healing.
Amen.
But that needs to be in His hands, not mine.
Right.
Until He takes me home, I need to just trust in Him.
Right.
This is called perfect peace. It's perfect because it's not lacking anything. My peace lacks something. A peace that I get from somebody's presence still lacks something. A peace that I find in a bottle still lacks something. But this peace is perfect peace. It doesn't lack anything because the source of it is God Himself. The word peace here has to do with tranquility. It has to do with being free from agitation and disturbance, a quietness of mind, and a quietness of conscience. The Hebrew word actually means to be safe, means to be well. It means to be happy. Happy, happy, happy in the peace of God. There's a lot of marriages that need a little more happy.
Oh boy.
I like that song, So Happy Together. I know it's not a Christian song, but it has a good message. God's people who are married ought to be happy together.
Amen.
God's people in a church ought to be happy together. God's people in their relationship with God ought to be happy together with Him. This word peace talks about a happiness in our heart and soul. Just like the song we sang with the children during the Sunday school assembly, I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, joyful all the time because of that peace of God that passes understanding, working in me, sustaining me through the difficulties of life. That's what this word means, peace, perfect peace. It's a perfect source. Take your Bibles and hold Isaiah 26, but go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want you to see something in a couple of statements in the New Testament that speak to this matter of this perfect peace that God is referring to here. The first one is found in Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. Is that not talking about salvation? Very clearly wording regarding salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
See, we rejoice in something in the future. Hope. Heaven. We rejoice in something in the future. God being glorified in my life, even though I'm struggling right now. How do we rejoice in that promise of something better in the future, just like Isaiah's prophecy to the children of Israel in the time that they lived in? How can they rejoice in that hope of the glory of God working in them and a better day for them? It's only by faith. It says, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And this hope. It's only by faith. As we experience God's grace, as we trust God, we experience His grace working in us. That grace helps us to have that hope of peace. As we experience God's mercy working in us, as we experience God's work in us by faith, He produces that peace in us. And it all starts with peace with Him through salvation. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. It's all by faith. We're saved by faith. We grow by faith. We're sustained by faith. We have peace by faith. We experience His grace by faith. It's all by faith. You know what helps build faith?
Amen.
This book right here. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's exactly in Isaiah's prophecy what it says. Keeping truth. God's truth. God's truth keeping my mind, helping me to think right. God's truth keeping my focus on Him. Focusing on Him and not in my circumstances. God's truth giving me His promises of a better day. And I can hope in Him. I can trust in Him. God's truth building my faith to trust that promise until I experience it in my life. It's all predicated on the Word of God. And the sad reality is that when we go through those difficulties, we don't take time to read the Word of God. When we go through those difficulties, we don't take time to gather and worship. When we go through those difficulties, we don't want to hear what somebody has to say, even if what they're telling us is true. My friend, that's exactly what we need.
Amen. Amen.
We need to keep our minds on the truth of God's word, because it's the truth of God's word that's going to produce the faith to help us trust in Him to experience His peace working in us.
Good.
You know, this is what I think part of what Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 9:6 is talking about when it calls Jesus, Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Yes, there will be a day of peace on earth in the millennial reign of Christ. But until that day, as I'm going through this day, which we talked last week, clearly is not the millennial kingdom. But as I'm going through this nasty now and now, until I get to that, I can experience peace in my life as I trust in Him. See, that's what this scripture is talking about. He is the Prince of Peace. The question is He your Prince of Peace? He is the Prince of Peace. The question is, are you trusting Him for His peace? He is the Prince of Peace. The question is, are you experiencing that peace in your life today as He's working in the situations around you? He is the Prince of Peace. Our experience does not change Him.
That's right.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Case in point. Is Jesus the Savior?
Amen.
Okay. Is He the only Savior?
Amen.
Is He the Savior of whosoever will?
Amen.
Has all of the whosoever's received Him as their Savior?
No.
Does that change Him being the Savior?
No.
Our experience does not change God. Our experience changes our experience of God.
Oh boy.
Doesn't change God. He is the Prince of Peace. In fact, He is the only Prince of Peace. And He wants to be your Prince of Peace.
Amen.
And you're the one that decides if He is your Prince of Peace. That's as right. You trust Him and get to know Him and let Him work His peace in you. See, that, I believe, has a lot to do with what the angel said in Luke 2. It is a message of peace on earth. There will be national peace on earth in the millennial kingdom, but there can be individual peace right now in my life.
Yeah, that's right.
If I'll just trust in Him and get to know Him and let Him work. See, Jesus Himself declares Himself as the source of this peace in John. You're in Romans 5. Go to John chapter 16, though. John 16. Before we get back to Isaiah, let's go to John 16. Jesus makes this very clear. Look at verse 33. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Where do we have the record of things God has spoken unto us today? Right here, right? God's word, correct? Did I not mention that this peace experienced in my life is directly connected with this book working in my life? Did I mention that?
Amen.
Jesus mentions it too. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me," there's that source of peace, "in me ye might have peace." Not in your friend, not in yourself, not in some chemical, in Him, in the Lord. "In me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Should it shock us when we have difficulties and trials? No. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But look at what He says. The contrasting conjunction, but be of good cheer. You're going through a tribulation? Be of good cheer anyway. Why? Well, because I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer because this is not going to last forever. Be of good cheer because He's already got the victory over this. Be of good cheer because He's won the victory for me and I can experience His victory in me as I'm going through this. Be of good cheer because He's with me as I go through this. I'm not alone. Just the lost people go through trials too, but they don't have Jesus going through it with them. My friend, if you've trusted Christ your Savior, you've got Jesus going through the trial with you, and He's promised to help you experience His peace as you're going through it if you'll only trust Him. You got to trust Him. See, it's in me. It's in His presence. What we allow often, the trials of life, We allow them to get us to get so focused on them, they pull our attention away from the Lord, and we become agitated. Your experience of peace has a lot to do with what you focus on. That's why a lot of medicines work. They just kind of get your mind away from focusing on that. My friend, we need to get our mind focused on the Lord.
Amen.
It's in Him. The key is in Him. That's exactly what Isaiah's prophecy talks about. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. See, this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. In me, you might have peace. Not in the world, in me. See, it's the world that takes away that peace. When we get drawn in the world, we don't have that peace. When we get drawn into sin, we don't have that peace. When we get drawn away from the Lord, we don't have that peace.
Amen, that's right.
Jesus says, in me you have peace, not in the world. He says, be of good cheer. I have the victory for you. Go from John 16 to John 14. Jesus talks about peace in John 14. In verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. What is the textbook of teaching for the Holy Spirit? This book right here.
Amen.
Did I not mention we need to be in this book? Letting this book work in us? Keeping our focus on this book so we'll trust in God and experience His peace? That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. His Spirit teaching us His Word, growing our faith so we can experience that peace more in our lives. And then look at the very next verse, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you.
Amen.
Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus says, I want you to have peace. I don't want you to have a peace you can manufacture. I don't want you to have a peace somebody else can manufacture for you. I want you to have my peace.
Amen.
Just like Isaiah's prophecy said, it's perfect peace. But it's only found in me. As you relate to me, as you experience my strength in you, as you trust in me, as you let my word work in you, you can experience my peace. See, it's experienced on an individual basis. Go back to Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. It's experienced individually. The millennial kingdom, that's going to be corporate peace. Amen?
Right.
But this peace is individual peace. It's me and my life, you and your life. But the way I experience it is the same way you experience it, by keeping my focus on Him and His Word, growing my faith so I can trust Him, so I can have more peace in me. It's experienced individually, but the process is the same for everybody. Doesn't that sound like salvation as well?
Amen.
It's experienced individually, but the process is the same for everybody. And guess what? Not only is it true for salvation, not only is it true for God's peace at work in my life, guess what else? It's also true for sanctification. It's experienced individually, but it's the same process for everybody. Being filled with the Spirit. It's experienced individually, but it's the same process and possibility for everyone. My friend, it's the same for everyone. You say, well, I can't have that peace. Well, then God's a liar and you're true. Anybody here willing to call God a liar? Didn't think so. So take Him at His word.
Amen.
He said, it's available to you. That means if I don't experience it, it's not His fault. It's my lack of the process.
Oh boy.
And notice what the process is. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It's focusing my mind on Him through His Word, so His Word can work faith in me, so I can trust in Him, so I can rest in Him and experience His peace more in my life. See, Point number two says, as we keep our focus on Him, we stay in peace, His peace. See, it's on the ones that is stayed on God. The focus is stayed on God. The word stayed there means to be fixed, to be settled, to be sober, to be steady. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like each day I need to start spending some time in this book. That says to me that when life gets a little out of balance, I need to get back in this book. There's way too many Christians that are up in the air about way too much. In Bible Institute this week, I was talking about the fact that there's some things that are kind of obscure in Scripture, but there's a lot of stuff that is very, very concrete. And we need to be dogmatic about the concrete stuff.
Amen.
But you know, there's Christians, they're unsettled about so much. Is that really the Word of God? Man, if you're struggling with that, no wonder you don't have peace. Because that's the source of peace. If you're not sure it's the Word of God, man, you're really going to struggle.
Right.
See, we need to be settled in who God is. We need to be settled in who we are in God. We need to be settled in what is God's Word. We need to be settled in, do I have the Holy Spirit? When I'm settled in those things, I can have more peace.
Amen.
A lot of our agitation and frustration and irritation is because we don't even know what we believe. We need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. And this book is critical to that.
Amen. Oh, boy.
And our confidence in those things will help us to have peace. See, it's mind stayed on the Lord. See, what we do is we focus our mind on the situation. And then we wonder why we don't have peace. We focus on the person causing us problems. And then we wonder why we don't have peace. We focus on the lack of a bank account and the amount of bills, and then we wonder why we don't have peace. We need to focus our attention on the Lord, and we need to focus our attention on what His Word says. And His Word will teach us how to handle our finances, and His Word will teach us how to make some sacrifices. His Word will teach us how to stretch our dollar. His Word will teach us how to honor Him with our dollars so we can experience His blessings more. See, His Word will help us with the problems of life. His Word will tell us when to keep our mouth shut.
Amen.
I read Proverbs 15 this week. Did you? There's a lot in there about our mouth.
Yeah.
And it's our mouth that usually creates the problems around us in our relationships with other people. Or maybe it's their mouth getting them in trouble. And that creates the challenge. But the bottom line is, if we just get in this book, it'll help us solve a lot of problems by just avoiding them.
Amen.
We can have a whole lot more peace. It's having our mind stayed on the Lord and His Word so we can be fixed and steady and settled on Him. And it's setting ourselves on Him, whose mind is stayed on God. We determine what we focus our mind on. We cannot control the thoughts that blaze through our brain, but we sure can control what we dwell on.
That's right. Oh boy.
You know, we can't control, you know, driving down the road and a billboard's there and it's kind of lustful and it creates a thought in our... We can't control that, but we can control how long we're going to keep thinking about that.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, boy. Good preaching.
We can't control some stimulus that maybe it's a smell or maybe it's a sound or maybe it's something else that brings a thought to our mind that kind of creates some agitation into us because of an experience in the past. But we sure can control how long we're going to think about that thing. You say, no, Pastor, I can't control my thoughts. Then you're true and God's a liar. Anybody here willing to call God a liar? Didn't think so. God tells us to control our thoughts.
Right.
So if He's true and He tells us to do it, we can do it. We're just going to need His help.
Amen.
See, what we focus our mind on is going to determine the domination of our confidence or lack thereof. If we focus on the Lord, He's our confidence. If we focus on ourselves, not much confidence. If we can focus on another person, not much confidence. If we focus on something else, not much confidence. But when we focus on the Lord, there's plenty of confidence. Because He's able. He's more than able to accomplish whatsoever concerns me today. Whatever it is, He's more than able. I just need to focus on Him. See, focusing on the Lord helps us to trust in the Lord. See, the more I know about God, the more I can trust God. There are some people, the more you know about them, the less you trust them. Anybody know people like that? Everybody here does. You're just not honest. Bottom line is, there's some people, you immediately know them and you think you can trust them. Then you experience a little bit more with them and you realize, maybe not. Then you experience a little bit more with them and you say, definitely not. There are other people, the more you know about them, the more you know you can trust them. That's the way the Lord is.
Amen.
The more you know Him through this book, the more you know you can trust Him no matter what. There's a lot of people that get married to somebody and they had all kinds of warning signs that may not be the best choice. Made it anyway. If you're in that situation, you need to start working on that. Not by getting out of it, but by fixing it.
Yeah.
If you're not in it yet, you might want to think about that. Amen?
Right.
I was doing premarital counseling with somebody this week. I told him, I said, you know, if you have anything that needs to be forgiven, now's the time to ask forgiveness for it, not later. You don't want skeletons falling out of your closet later. I said, if it's not going to be forgiven, better to not be forgiven now than later. Because before you get married, you can say, I don't. But after you say, I do, you've done.
Good point.
Amen? But you know, the more you know the Lord, the more you know you can trust Him.
Yeah.
Here's why a lot of people do not experience God's peace in their life. Ignorance of Him. They just don't know Him well. They don't know how well they can trust Him because they don't know Him well. That's why this passage says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. It's a promise. God will do this. If you do what He tells you to do, He will do what He promised to do.
Amen.
He is able, more than able, to do what He says He's going to do. If you will trust in Him, if you will focus on Him, if you will get to know Him, if you will know how much you can trust Him, and you trust Him that much, you'll experience His peace in your life.
Amen.
So the question is, how do we stay our minds on Him? Well, it all starts with a personal relationship of salvation.
Amen.
Friend, if you're not sure you're born again, you're going to really struggle with this experience of peace. You need to be settled on that. If you're not settled on that, today would be a great day to get it settled.
Amen.
But then it talks about our mind. Our mind stayed on Him. What's our mind? Well, according to the Bible, the mind is an aspect of the soul. The soul is the mind, the will, our volition, decision-making, and the emotion. That's the center of our being. That's where we live from. That's what we live from, our soul. And the mind is a part of that. So we're talking about the soul of man. We're not just talking about the intellect. We're talking about the soul. So how do we keep our soul focused on the Lord? Well, first of all, He's got to be in there. That's salvation. And then there's some certain things we can do to focus on Him in there. Prayer is a big part of it.
Amen.
The more you know about God, the more you want to talk to God. Prayer, I was listening to a guy's sermon on the internet, a young man that was in our youth group back in Indiana. He's now a pastor, and he was preaching on this, and he made a quote from Martin Lloyd Jones, and he says, prayer is a direct correlation of your faith. If you trust God much, you will talk to God much.
Oh boy.
And it's interesting to me that this experience of peace in Isaiah 26 is a direct correlation to trusting God.
Yeah.
If you trust God much, you experience His peace much. So if you look at it as a measurement on a graph, the less I trust God, the less I experience peace, the less I talk to God. But here's another measurement also. The less I know about God, the less I trust God. The less I trust God, the less I talk to God. The less I talk to God, the less I experience His peace in my life. But the reverse is also true. The more I know God, the more I trust God. The more I trust God, the more I talk to God. The more I talk to God, the more I experience His peace in my life.
Amen. Very good.
My question is, where are you in the measurement? It's really largely up to you.
Yes, it is. Right.
This matter of peace. But prayer is a way that we focus our mind on the Lord. Another way we focus our mind on the Lord is reading this book.
Amen.
You know, when I have thoughts come in my mind and I'm having a hard time getting rid of them, you know what I do? I think about scriptures I've already memorized. I kind of get my mind focused on something different than what I was focused on that was leading me in a destructive path.
Very good.
And if I can do that, as a simpleton as I am, I'm sure you can handle that too. See, we need to read His Word. We need to meditate on His Word. We need to memorize His Word because it helps us to keep our mind focused on Him. See, as we think about Him and think about His Word and think about His will, it helps us to trust Him and know Him and experience His peace in our lives. And that's the last point. We experience His peace keeping us when we are trusting Him. It's sort of like this. We've got this agitation taking place. Our peace is gone. We're kind of frustrated. We're kind of irritated. We're kind of just not tranquil. So we got to make a choice. Am I going to continue in this lack of tranquility and this agitation, or am I going to change it? That's a choice you have to make. You can choose to continue focusing on whatever it is causing you this turmoil, but you have everything that comes with it. The upset stomach, the irritability, the frustration, the agitation, and the broken relationships that kind of come as a result of it. Doesn't sound too pleasant, does it? Not to me. So instead of choosing to continue to dwell on it, I can choose to change my thoughts. Instead of thinking about that, I'm going to think about the Lord. Oh, guess what? I'm already starting to change. I'm going to think about God's greatness and God's ability and the things I know about God. Who He is. He's the Creator. He's the all-powerful God. He's the eternal God. He's the self-existent God. I know this about Him. I'm thinking about things I know about Him. I'm settled on. And these things are things that I've read in the Word. And maybe I'll think about some scripture about how God, He'll supply all my needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. Huh? How about that one? See, I'm focusing on something different than what I was focusing on when I lost that peace. And as I'm continuing to focus on this, all of a sudden down the road, I realize, wait a minute, hold on. I feel different now. I'm not feeling that irritability I was before. I'm not feeling that frustration I was before. How'd that happen? Well, it just kind of happened along the way. I changed my mind. And as I changed my mind, I started experiencing that peace. You know the sad part is? I can change that too.
Right.
All I got to do is start thinking about the wrong thing again.
Oh boy.
It's very fluid. The source of it is constant. Our experience of it can be very fluid. It depends on what we focus on. See, we can experience His peace keeping us as we're trusting in Him. And that's what Isaiah 26 says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. The idea of trusting in the Lord is a reliance on Him. It's resting in Him. Remember, this is not something I work up. This is not power of positive thinking. And this is none of that stuff. This is not yoga and all that kind of thing. This is God working His peace in me. And me just trusting Him. I don't do this to me. He does it to me as I'm trusting Him, as I'm focused on Him. It's as I'm resting in Him, I'm experiencing His peace. When I stop resting in Him, I stop experiencing that peace. It's not being self-reliant, it's being Christ-reliant. It has to do with confidence. Who's your confidence in? A lot of proud people say, well, I'm confident in me, and that's it. Well, there's your source of peace. Or lack thereof. I think a better source of confidence is in the Lord.
Amen.
See, Jesus said this in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." It's about faith. And as I mentioned before, this book grows your faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why when you're witnessing to somebody, you can give them your testimony, but give them some scripture too, because it's the word of God that's going to produce the faith for them to trust in God. As you're counseling somebody, you can talk to them about your experience, but you better give them some scripture, because it's the scripture that's going to produce the faith to help them to rest in the Lord and experience His peace in your life. Back there in Isaiah 26, it says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever." The question is your source of peace a forever source of peace? If it's you, no. If it's somebody else, no. If it's political, no. If it's financial, no. None of that's an eternal source of peace. But the Lord is an eternal source of peace. We can trust the same Lord forever.
Amen. Oh boy.
We can trust what He says forever.
Amen.
We can trust that it won't change forever.
Right.
But you know what? As I wrote recently in an article, I'm not sure if the Observer printed it, but I know the Nickel did. But no other religion but biblical Christianity offers that to people.
Amen.
No other religion offers that. Something that is constant and forever, and assuring, and unchangeable. No other religion offers that. But biblical Christianity. You know why? Only in the Lord is everlasting strength.
Amen.
See, it says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever." Why? Why trust in the Lord forever? Well, number one, He's forever. You can. In fact, He's the only one you can trust forever. But here's another reason. And that basically it's the same reason. "For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength."
Amen.
He's the only one that's going to help you forever. That means, and my question to you is this, what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? That really answers a lot of questions. Well, I'm trusting in my ability to do good. Is that forever?
Oh, boy.
I don't do good all the time. Neither do you. So that's not a forever reliance, is it? What are you trusting to get you to heaven? What my priest says, or what my preacher says. Is your preacher or priest forever?
Nope.
See, you ask somebody, what are you trusting to get you to heaven forever? Most people will say, well, I'm not sure I can have that confidence. Pretty good clue they're not trusting the right thing. The Bible says, trust in the Lord forever. Why? For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength.
Amen.
This peace that He's talking about in Isaiah 26 is a forever peace, because it's in a forever source. And it'll last you forever. The question is, are you experiencing it? If not, you can.
Right.
It's available to everybody, but it's experienced by everybody the same way. There's not a Umber way and a Markham way and a Smith way and a Winkle way. There's only His way.
Amen.
And it's the same for everybody. Just like salvation. There's not a Baptist way and a Catholic way and a Muslim way and a Methodist way and an Episcopalian way. There's only one way, and it's His way.
Amen.
And it's the same for everybody. So if you're not experiencing it, it's available. But it's only done His way. But if you want to experience it, the good word is you can. But you only experience it His way. What are you focused on? What are you trusting in? What are you thinking about? Those things really determine your experience of peace as you're going through the challenges of life. Friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today's a great day to trust Christ. Let's pray.